I think we can make Brother Luke feel good. Amen if you love Brother Luke. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Luke. That should make you feel great. That's one of those positive Tim things, you know. And he told it exactly right. I think that person was so out of their head that they didn't know what they were saying. And, you know, I was sitting there trying to remember who that person was, and I think God has blocked out who it was, because I cannot remember who it was. Praise God. But or we'd call names, you know. But anyway, they needed a prayer. If they said no to a prayer, they needed it worse than anybody. But praise God, Brother Luke. It's great messages. And don't stop, brother. Just keep following that Spirit leading you in that. It's wonderful. If you'll turn to Proverbs, the first chapter. Looks like we're in Proverbs today, it appears. Proverbs, the first chapter. I've been speaking to you about an introduction to biblical parenting. And don't forget now, this is just an introduction. There's no way that I can cover everything. But I remember when Sister Tracy and I were living in Nashville, and we had a small little baby cradling in our arms named Madison. And even before she got here, when Sister Tracy was expecting, we would do everything we could possibly do to get to Bethel Church in Nashville at 6 o'clock on Sunday nights, because Brother Lonnie Mazingo was preaching out of the book of Proverbs. And sometimes he would touch on issues like related to parenting. And I was wanting to know, she was wanting to know, you know, what are we going to do with this little fellow when she gets here? So just remember, the introduction to biblical parenting is geared for you to understand if you're a young parent, parent with teenagers, parent with grown children, if you're a grandparent. The answers to parenting are in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. All right, let's start by talking about the second tool that God provides from Proverbs. I want you to stay in Proverbs 1, but you remember Proverbs 29 and 15 said, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to themselves brings their parent, their mother, their father to shame." Okay, so those are the two primary tools, the rod and reproof. And if you recall, we talked about the rod last week. There's only 5 verses in the book of Proverbs about the rod, but there's multiple verses about reproof. Okay, so we're going to talk about reproof today. Remember, it's about 25% in Proverbs on the rod, the use of the rod, not the hand, remember, but the use of the rod. And then there's about 75% on reproof. 5 times versus 16, 17, 18 times, give or take a few if you look at the definitions. So I want you to notice this follows right along with what Brother Luke was just telling you about how you never see the end of the sin. When you see it on the advertisements and when you see the glittering and the glow of sin, they don't ever tell you the end of it, but the Word of God does. And the title of this message is The Riddle of Reproof. The Riddle of Reproof. Now, what is a riddle? Well, I was trying to think of a silly riddle. This is a silly riddle. This is what a riddle is. What runs but never walks? The answer to that is a river. That's how a riddle is designed. Now, if I had just told you, you know, from a psychological standpoint, from your interest standpoint, the way your mind works, if I'd said, hey, a river runs but doesn't walk, that's not near as exciting as me saying to you, what runs but never walks? And you start thinking, I'm not sure. And then I say a river, and you go, wow, that's so cool. That's the Word of God. It tells you the riddle of reproof. It tells you from beginning to end what will happen. Now, when you lay that down on the method or the mechanism of parenting, when you lay that down on the mechanism of parenting, you know, you don't just get it told to the child and then they figure it out just like that. It's a long-term riddle. You understand what I'm saying? So you can see the beginning of how this starts out and you can see the end of it. But the child at 3, 5, 7, 10, 13, 15 years old, they may not fully comprehend the answer to the riddle until they witness it for themselves. Are y'all with me? The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. And verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Now listen to this, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. That phrase, dark sayings, occurs elsewhere in the Word of God as riddle, hard questions, and even one time as proverb. So the proverbs themselves are like riddles.
They give you the full picture, and in such a mind-enticing way that it makes you go, ah. This is part of the perplexing puzzle of parenting. Even you as a parent may not can see the answer to the riddle, but you teach it anyway because you believe in God and that He knows better. That He's got His word here that will tell you this is the end result of this. Maybe you as a parent, grandparent, individual have never seen that, the end result of that. But the Word of God says that, so you can see it in the Word of God. The saying that we've been carrying on throughout the weeks of preaching on this, much of your future happiness is in the hands of your children. Now look, these were dark sayings to me. These were riddles. These were dark sayings to me as a child. I just started thinking back through my childhood. Why can 5 and 6-year-old Tim not sit and watch TV all day? I love Gilligan's Island. I'd watch 10 episodes in a row if they played it or streamed it back then. Why? That's a riddle to me. Why is that bad for me at 7, 8 years old? Why does 8-year-old Tim have to go to work in the chicken house? That was a riddle to me. It was a dark saying. This is so cruel. Why can't 7 and 8-year-old Tim eat jelly with every meal? I even stole Grandmother McCool's packs of jelly and went to the end of the yard and opened them up and ate them. I feel bad about that too, by the way. Why can 15-year-old Tim not sit and play video games all night? Or why can any age Tim, as a child, not just get a bungalow and live at Disney World? It's very expensive, by the way. Why could 7-year-old Tim not watch Young and the Restless with Grandmother McCool at 11 o'clock? These are questions that I had. Those were riddles to me that I could not figure out. Remember the one I've told you many times. Why could 16-year-old Tim not go with that crowd to, you know, the carnival in Columbus? Those are riddles, dark sayings that came out of the mouths of my parents who I thought just didn't know what they were talking about. See, that's what the Proverbs are. That's how God deals with you, with me as a parent, in trusting Him to teach out of the Word of God to our children. The rod had to do with behavior correction, and the reproof has to do with behavior training. You remember the mandate from Deuteronomy 6, when you walk in the way, when you rise up, when you sit down, when you talk, when you go to bed? It monopolizes your time. God has entrusted parents with His heritage. It's not your heritage. You know, it says children are a heritage from the Lord in the Psalms. They belong to Him. The reason that children even exist is because God implemented the plan of reproduction in which a husband and a wife reproduce children. It's His plan. It's His heritage. He gets the glory for the family because He created it. Parental authority, protected by God's law. You know, there was the death penalty, and we're not talking about for 10-year-olds. There was the death penalty in the Mosaic law for certain behavior that adult children would carry out. Now, remember this. Under the Mosaic law, a child was an adult around 13 or 14 years old. See, there was a different kind of juvenile court back in those days. When I read that, I wonder, how many adult children would be alive today in our society and culture if we were living under the Mosaic Law and following it? Kind of scary, huh? You go and read what the death penalty was for. A parent is not there to crush the will of a child, to destroy the will of a child, to snuff the will of a child, but to subdue it and to rein it in and to direct it. See? When your children grow up, don't you want to be a glad father and a glad mother? Rejoice in your children, have joy in your children, be free to rest after the long journey of parenting. And mothers, don't you want to hear your children bless you? Or would we fall into the category of the statistic to me that I looked up said 33% of grandparents today are raising their grandchildren? That's a lot. That's a third. So you see how serious this is? And it's just a small amount of time in the scope of your life. So reproof, there's the occurrences of reproof. I looked at all of them in the book of Proverbs. The dark sayings, the riddle of reproof. I looked at all of them and I just could not get away from the first one, verse 23. Well, let's begin reading in verse 20. This is the first occurrence of the word reproof in the Proverbs. And that's what we're going to look at for the remainder of the time. Wisdom crieth without. This is Proverbs 1 and verse 20. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her words, and she says, how long, ye simple ones, notice the categories, will ye love simplicity and the scorners, a second category, delight in their scorning, and fools, a third category, hate knowledge. And watch what he says, turn you at my reproof. So we look at the riddle of reproof. Just as an introduction to this, I call you to go and study on reproof in the book of Proverbs, especially if you're a parent of children of any age. Turn you at my reproof. So he addresses, wisdom addresses the simple ones, the scorners, and the fools. Three categories. Now, I'm not saying that's the only categories that are given in the book of Proverbs, but these are the three general categories given here that applies to those that are being reproved. Now, reproof just means to expose or to reprove something. That means, notice the R-E on there, it means to repeat. These are things that should be repeated again and again and again. Sometimes if you hear me preach the same thing or say, hey, Brother Tim, I think he preached that 7 or 8 years ago or 5 years ago. It's because we need to rehear these things. We need to hear about salvation. We need to hear about the practical use of our salvation. Because we're forgetful. Parents, children can't just take a lesson one time. It's got to be repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated ad nauseum. So he says, reproof is for the simple ones. You see that there in verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? Sounds like a riddle, doesn't it? To be a simple one, it means to be open-minded, to be gullible, to be easily led or naive. It to be marked by the absence of good, but not necessarily the presence of evil. Now that's kind of a riddle-like, isn't it? It does not mean that this person is actively engaging in evil things, but it means that they're open to anything. This is the simple one. The problem with the simple one, who I would say, you know, is somebody that's on the fence. The problem is they love simplicity. An open-minded person, and let's just put it in the context of parenting. An open-minded child, which all children are open-minded. An open-minded child has an appetite for edgy things. Things that are on the edge. He's, oh, not my child, not my child. Better be careful. Because that's the natural tendency to say, you know, my child's different. All children come from Adam. And as I said last week, the primary problem with your child and my children is that they came from me. That's the primary problem. Sinners take on sin. So all children, to some degree or another, are open-minded. And the simple ones love simplicity. To be wowed by the world. This is the reason that Brother Tim would sneak those little packs of jelly and go down to the end of the yard, look around and make sure nobody was looking and open them up and start licking them out. Those little plastic containers that I'd feel so bad about doing it. But it was so good. There was pleasure in it. There was pleasure in the taste of that jelly. But I had a conviction in my heart. I shouldn't have took it. See, I was open to those edgy things. What is the solution to someone who loves, a child who loves simplicity? It is to turn at the reproof. To turn at the reproof. To turn, it's the idea of returning to the starting point. Go back to the basic of morality. Go back to the beginning. Why is it wrong for me to steal that little pack of jelly? It doesn't belong to me. I didn't ask permission for it. Go back to the starting point. Return to where you began. And so what voice does wisdom find in each generation? Think about that. This is wisdom talking. Well, you know, you don't just walk down the street and hear a bullhorn going, wisdom says. You know, that's not the way it works. So you say, well, I hear it in the Word of God. That's right. It's in the Word of God. There's wisdom in the Word of God. But it's also coming from the parent voice. It's coming often from the teacher voice. It will come to you from the experience voice if you live long enough. This is the voice of wisdom. Hey, in the new birth, what happens when you're born again by the Spirit of God? Jesus said it's the voice of God speaking to your heart and saying, live to your heart. And when he does that, he writes in your heart with his powerful voice. That's a teacher for you. Why was I convicted that I shouldn't be doing that? It's because I believe even at that young age, I had the Spirit of God within me saying, no, this is wrong. No, it doesn't belong to you. But it tastes so good. The Spirit of God in the riddle of reproof will show you the end of what happens. So reproof is for the simple ones. All children fall into that category. This would be a child that's kind of wide-eyed, wowed by the world. You know, there are some wow things in the world, some amazing, you know, natural wonders and amazing things that we see. But like Brother Luke said this morning, you know, just because something is amazing may not mean that it's beneficial to you. So reproof teaches what is beneficial for the child of God. And that starts in the home with parents reproving and teaching those things from the Word of God. Look, let me just say this side note. Whether a person chooses to homeschool, private school, public school, whatever the choice may be, I have seen good, godly children come up in all of those type of dynamics. It has to do with what the parent is doing with the child. Any of those things can work, but it has to do with how we as parents are implementing the plan, the method of teaching the Word of God to the child. Now, I've heard Brother Luke talk about this before, and I have too. You think about how if you're in another type of dynamic, whether it's private school, public school, whatever it may be, in that situation, a parent has to try extra hard to grab the time that they need, because you think about a child being gone for school, and then you think about maybe sports going on and all of that. You have to try extra hard to grab the time so you can fulfill the mandate of when you walk in the way, when you talk together, when you rise up, when you lie down, when you sit at the table. See, that can be problematic. So this doesn't advocate which type of education someone gets. It's talking about the spiritual education of any child. See? Train up in a child in the way that he or she should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. The problem with the simple, with the gullible, with the open-minded is they're easily led. And parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, we must lead our children in the way of the Word of God, because something's going to lead them for sure. Gilligan would have led me for ages if my parents had led him. The next category says, how long will the scorners delight in their scorning? This is a different category of individuals. This is a different type of child. This is the big talker, the mocker, the one who gives a hearty resistance to righteousness. This is the strong-willed child. The definition of scorner there is the tongue of trouble. The one that talks back more than the other. They talk arrogantly, you know? I'm not going to call any names, but we've all had experiences like that with strong-willed children. Some are more strong-willed than the others. This is that child right here. And what is the problem with this child? They delight in being strong-willed. And this is a child that leads to a rebellious child. They know better. You know, this is the child that in their teens says their parents are foolish and don't know what they're talking about, and sadly never gets out of that. That's the scorner. They scorn at their parents. They scorn at their parents' God. They scorn at the church of God. They scorn at everything but what's going on in their mind. And I'm not just talking about adults. I'm talking about little kids. Little children can also fall in that category. Strong-willed children. What's the answer? Turn at my reproof. Reproof is the answer. Of course, at a very young child, also the rod comes into play with a strong-willed child. But you understand, reproof is the answer to reach the mind of that person. Reproof, reproving these things, reteaching these things, helping the child to understand. But I don't quite see the end result of that, because you can't. You haven't reached that age. You haven't faced the temptation. But trust me, God knows best, and He says this is what's going to happen, and you'll never be the exception to that rule. The third category is the fool. Fools hate knowledge. This is the highest level of evil. This is the highest, and listen, this can be a child of God, but the highest degree of evil is found in the fool. The definition of the fool here, and this is a word we don't really like, but we're using it as a definition, it means stupid fellow, arrogant, rebel. This is the person that's with the all-in crowd. Anything goes. I'll do anything. The problem is the fool hates knowledge. See, it says that. Fools hate knowledge. So you see, the simple love simplicity. The scorners delight in their strong willedness, and the fool just hates anybody to be able to tell them anything because they know it all. They're kind of a know-it-all. These are different types of people, different types of children. And it's upon a parent to recognize these tendencies and traits. They don't all come prepackaged with a label that says this is how they are. But if you want to begin to learn about how a child is or what their traits or personalities are, you look at yourself. What do I struggle with? And I would bet just about anything that that's very similar to what a child will struggle with. The highest degree of evil. They hate knowledge. The word hate is the definition of the word thorn seed, which is the seed of a plant with small, sharp thorns. And the meaning is to cause one to turn directions to avoid it. The fool will turn any direction that they can to avoid the thorn. You see, and we say, what's the thorn? The thorn is reproof. The thorn is knowledge. The thorn is instruction. It's a thorn to them. I just don't want to hear it. And that can fall at any age, but especially it kind of afflicts teenagers when they get in that age category and they think they know it all. They'll do everything they can to turn from whatever, what it is you're trying to tell them to do. It's just the way that it goes. So how do you know that? Because I was the same way. What's the answer? Turn at my reproof. You say, there's no hope for a fool like that, right? Let me tell you about a fool. He was the prodigal son. That young man was a fool. See, he demanded his inheritance in the book of Luke. He demanded his inheritance from his father. He said, Dad, I wish you were dead. And he went off and he spent all of his money on riotous living. This is an adult child. He was a complete fool and he hated knowledge. When you say fool, it doesn't mean that he didn't have intelligence. You understand? He was smart. He had intelligence. He could put together a way to get his inheritance early before his dad died. And then he goes off, but he hated his dad. He hated the knowledge that his dad had shared with him. And what happened to that fool? He's standing there feeding those pigs, and he's looking at the pig slop and starving and thinking to himself, oh my goodness, back at my father's house, there's food to spare, and I could just be a servant at my father's house. I had it so much better. So don't think for one second that there's not hope for a fool. The prodigal was a fool, and what did he do? He turned at the reproof. But look, you don't have to be the prodigal and go to the pig pen to get the meaning of the riddle. See? You can get it now. You can look in the mirror as a child or as any age person and say, I am the fool. I am the prodigal. Or I am the scorner. Or I'm just a little too open-minded. I need help. How do you get help? Turn at the reproof of the Word of God. You say, well, I'm just kind of ill or upset with my parents, and I really don't want to listen to them. Come see me, and I'll point you to the Word of God. It's not Brother Tim's words. It's not your parents' words. It's not your grandparents' words. It's God's Word, and He's the ultimate Father. He's the ultimate parent who loves His children. Turn at my reproof. The ultimate result of turning from reproof leads to safety. You can go on and read there. I'm out of time, but you can go on and read about the result of what happens when you don't turn. Calamity, catastrophe, distress, fear, anguish. Oh, it's terrible. What happens? If you go and learn in the school of hard knocks and experience. But if you turn, if the simple one, if the fool, if the scorner, if the parent teaches their child in the scheme that God provides, the rod and reproof, and do the best that they can. It's not a foolproof way to keep that child from being a prodigal. It's not a foolproof way to keep that child out of experiencing hard knocks. But it is the way God provides for the parent to impart that wisdom of God to the child. And the riddle of reproof, when you learn the truth of it, it will lead to safety and quietness. Verse 33 of Proverbs 1, but whosoever hearkeneth to me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Doesn't mean you're never going to have problems, but it means that you're going to have a different experience in life because you turned at reproof. And that all starts when children are very small. And it continues. You know, the rod of correction, the use of that kind of diminishes throughout the time of childhood, hopefully. But I always used to joke and say to my kids, now look, you're never too old for me to spank you. But seriously, the rod of correction diminishes, but the use of reproof should continue. So now I know the answer to the riddle. I know why mom and dad said you can't sit there and watch TV all day. I know now why The answer to the riddle of why I had to work as an 8-year-old. I still use the things that my father taught me in working all through those years, even though at times I hated it. I didn't understand the dark saying. But that's life. You have to work in life. I know now why I can't eat jelly at every meal. I didn't know at 8 years old. I know why it is destructive to sit and play video games all day, or it's destructive for me to over-involve myself in those days in sports or in recreation, and I can't live at Disney World. You know, it's too expensive, and plus it's not appropriate. I know now why I was restricted from watching The Young and the Restless at 11 o'clock with Grandmother McCool. Now look, I'm not throwing off on her, but she knows in heaven today she shouldn't have watched that. I know now why my parents encouraged me to avoid the wicked man and the strange woman. The riddle of reproof, whatever age you may be here today, maybe you're a small child, maybe you're not even a listening child yet, maybe you're an older child, teenager, you know, maybe you're an adult. It doesn't matter what age you are. The riddle of reproof applies to you and to me throughout all ages. But it's up to the parents to begin to teach those important dark sayings. And one day, when you train up a child in the way he or she should go, when they are old, they will not depart from it. And we can pray, Lord, help them not to learn in the school of hard knocks. Help them to learn in the school of God, in the dark sayings, in the riddle of reproof.